This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world.
Paul and Michael occasionally save the world. Occasionally.
How long has it been since we recorded?
It's been about a month, man.
About a month?
About a month.
About a month again. Man. We keep on leaving these people hanging, Sparky.
I know it.
We gotta record more often. But you know what? This is a special episode of Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World. Do you know why this is special?
Tell me.
I am going to vent and ramble, and I'm going to be all over the place today. And it's something I haven't done in a long time. I'm all formatted on all my podcasts now. I mean, this one is like, you know, we're being positive and we're sharing stuff. And then the Ninja Turtle podcast, oh boy, is that one formatted because we got all these segments and stuff. That's all good. But I need to rant today.
I was kind of expecting it after talking with you for the last two or three weeks personally, you know, through text and whatnot. So let's go. Let's get some angst and some venting out.
Yeah, you might have to edit a little bit. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You might have some beeps to throw in there.
Not worried about it. Let's do it.
But yeah, we'll have some. You know, we'll have some of our usual recommendations of stuff that we're enjoying and stuff like that. I actually do have some stuff to talk about. So I'm just going to dive into the first big thing that has been. It's been something that's been on my mind for quite some time. But over the last. Probably a couple weeks. I've been texting you about this too, but I've really been trying to think about how to change the things I'm doing, because I really feel like my mind is being just overrun by constant noise, by constant distraction. So I just took Facebook and Twitter off my phone because I, as probably the majority of people in the world nowadays, have a problem of just constantly like, I'm just going to flick through Twitter and see what's going on. I was pretty good with not doing anything on Facebook. I had taken Facebook off my phone. I only put it back on actually to share a video with my mom because she lives in California. We live in Maine. She sent my son a box of little presents. So I always take a video of him opening them and then post it for her so she can enjoy it, you know. But yeah, so I mean, Facebook hasn't really been much of a temptation because Facebook is just... I don't know, like there's not much for it to offer me anymore.
Yeah,
I keep it there just to make sure that I can share those things with family. But Twitter's been the killer. And the typical complaint with Twitter is what? That there's too much negativity on it, right? Like everybody's nasty and complaining and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That hasn't been as big of a problem for me lately because I've blocked a lot of people. I've muted certain words. I pretty much have just decided that if somebody brought negativity to my Twitter feed, unless they really added some positivity to it, you know, some things I liked seeing, I was just going to unfollow them, you know, because it wasn't worth it. But even once I did that, I realized how much of a distraction it always was. I would go on there, I'd be, you know, sitting playing Madden, and I've been playing Madden Ultimate Team a lot. You don't play Madden, do you?
No, I did a long time ago, but no, I haven't in a long while, yeah. No.
So what Madden Ultimate Team is it's sort of combining just Madden, you know, playing football, with a sort of a card collecting aspect. It's sort of like a card game like Magic would be, where, you know, you get cards, but they have different powers and strengths and stuff like that. So when you get players, they have different ratings. And there's different things you could do. You play solo challenges to earn things, and you could buy stuff and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I love it because it combines multiple interests, but it gives me a different way to play because ultimately, like, I hate playing with people online unless I know them personally. Cannot stand playing random people. But Mutt is just something different. It gave me a way to build a different kind of team and have more fun with it. And I love it. I just absolutely love it. So I've been playing Mutt. So a lot of times you're playing these challenges and you're really just kind of grinding through some of them that maybe aren't the most fun, but you're earning something, you know? And every time I'd run a play and I'm like letting the play clock wind down because I'm just trying to finish it up and win, I just flick around Twitter on my phone, you know? But I just realized I was constantly doing that. I try to read a book and I would read like a page or two and I would look at Twitter for a minute. Just constantly just distracting myself with Twitter. So I realized, you know what? This is a problem. Like my brain feels crazy right now. Well, not right now as much as, I mean, you know, recent history right now. Too many things. I realized this a while back with podcasts. If I try to listen to too many podcasts, I start to feel I start to feel pressure. Like, well, I got to listen. I got to keep up because, you know, these are enjoyable and I want to enjoy it and I got to keep up so I'm not behind. But it got to the point where I wasn't really enjoying anything because I just felt so much pressure to keep up with stuff. So quite a while ago, I made the decision to narrow down podcasting, just what I want to listen to. So my typical method now is I'll listen to one podcast exclusively for as long as I feel like. And then when I get bored and want something else, I'll switch to one of the other podcasts that I want. I've actually been listening to a podcast that's new for me about Mutt, Madden Ultimate Team. And I went back and started with the first episode they released this year when the game launched. And I've listened through to, they do a weekly episode, and I've listened through to, I think I'm in the end of November right now. Just to learn about the different things I can learn about the game so I can get more out of it. But it's just been enjoyable and it's been relaxing to listen to it. But, that's how I do a podcast. I realized that a while ago. I realized like my brain is feeling frazzled and, social media is one thing. Digital entertainment in other ways is another thing, like reading digital comics. Like I start to feel pressured by the free Hoopla comics I get, or by having Marvel Unlimited and my subscription was ending and I had to read stuff. And then I realized too, not even just digital comics, but just comics altogether, because it is such a different medium where it's fast paced, quick gratification. You're essentially reading something short when you're reading just an issue. It's not like reading a novel where you're spending, I mean, even a short novel, how many hours are you spending reading it? You know, and you spend maybe 20 minutes reading a comic book. Yeah. So I just realized like my brain is going crazy with all of these short forms of interaction, Twitter, Facebook, comics, you know, digital comics. Feeling pressured by having all these different digital options and stuff like that. So that's where I've been lately. That I've really been thinking I need to change how I'm putting stuff in my mind. I need to start reading books again. So that's going to be my first thing that I'm currently reading, and it's a recommendation. I definitely am enjoying it. Anybody who likes baseball would probably get enjoyment out of it, because it's not just about baseball either. I mentioned this to you the other day, but it's The Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn. So it's about his life more than just baseball, but it's about the Dodgers to an extent when they were in Brooklyn. And it's about him growing up as a kid. And now I'm only like 60 or 70 pages into it. And right now it's talking about him, starting to work for the newspaper, and eventually he starts writing about the Dodgers. But, even though he's told a little bit of that time, he's, you know, the kind of the time frame of it drifts back and forth. But just reading a novel again, well, I guess it's not a novel, but reading a, what do you call it, prose, you know, it's reading a book that's just freaking words again, instead of comics where it's pictures and it's quick and it's, you know, comics are fantastic. I'm not complaining about comics. Of course, like we love comics. That's why we're here, is we met each other because of our love for comics.
Yeah.
But it is just so different. It's like, you know, I've been watching Criterion Collection movies, and watching a movie like that is so different than watching, I don't know, Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a comedy that's fast paced and, you know, easy to get drawn into. Man, you got to pay attention when you're watching like Zatoichi. You got to read all those subtitles. You know, you look away, you don't know what's going on because you can't just do it with your ears.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's like with comics. The urge used to be, well, I'm listening to people talk about all these different things. I'm trying to keep up, there's so much good variety of things to read. So I'm like, I need to try to get everything and read everything. And it got, for me personally, it got out of control that, I couldn't keep up with what I was even getting. You know, some people can do that. I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I would start letting things like reading or listening, you know, that's the podcast thing too. At one point, I got so addicted to podcasts. I probably had like 60 podcasts that I had on my, that I would listen to or try to listen to at, you know, at work during the day, every day. I actually have a job where during the summer, especially, I could do that, but I realize I'm missing out. No matter how good they are, I'm missing out on other things. And that's one of the things I love about when I've discovered audiobooks, the Audible thing, that, that can fill another need that I have, because at home, I don't have a lot of time where I can just sit down and pick up a book and read, which has always been a big part of my life. But the audio version fills that. So I, you know, it's all about kind of like balancing things out. I mean, you told me, oh gosh, you told me the other day, a perfect, illustration about how you want to share the magician spinning,
So this actually came from my boss too, just talking about you know, balancing work and life and everything. But the line at my work has always been work life balance. Like, work life balance is important. But he said there's never such thing as balance. It's not like a teeter totter where, okay, work's on this side, life's on this side. It's just balance, and it's not going anywhere. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah,
it's more like, you're spinning plates, and you have all these plates that are spinning at one time, and not every plate is as important as the other one. Sometimes one plate needs more attention. You need to get it spinning to keep it from falling. So that plate requires more of your attention. You ignore the other ones while you're working on it. And, you know, I expanded the analogy some to apply more to how I was feeling, but, if you get too many plates going, especially when you get unimportant plates going, they can drag so much of your attention that you let the plates that really matter fall. And, you know, if you're trying to balance spinning the plates of work and family, and then you got, you know, what things do you enjoy? So, like, you know, I enjoy playing video games. I enjoy watching Criterion movies. I enjoy reading comics. I enjoy reading books. I enjoy listening to podcasts. I enjoy quite a few, you know, like, there's a lot of different things that we can enjoy. But if everything is the most important plate to you, it's impossible. You can't manage listening to an infinite number of podcasts and, you know, reading 50 comics a week and all these different things. You could probably manage one of those things, but you can't manage all of them. And when you try to manage all of them, you're either not really engaging with anything that you're doing, or you're dropping something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for some people, aside from like work and family, comics is like the third thing that gives them the joy. So, you know, I'm not thinking that it's a bad thing that that's all they do. If that's what gives them ultimate happiness, aside from being with their family and, you know, doing a good job at work, more power to them. But you, like your deep love for the Criterion Collection and you're wanting to get back into reading, actual prose written stuff. And then you got the other thing, which pretty much everybody that I know, except for actually my parents don't, because the whole Twitter thing, they don't even know exists, I don't think. That is a huge distraction, because there's like an endorphin rush if you post something and somebody liked it. And it, you know, and ultimately that's fine. But if it's all you're doing, think about the time, you know, the distractions of that and like games, like phone games, silly phone games that we play, like I play. I mean, I've been playing that, Valiant Heroes, and I've tried to limit my time doing that, because if I just sat there all the time doing that, I'd get nothing done.
Did you play Farmville when it was a big deal back in the
day?
My
wife and I would sit there with our Kindles and play Farmville and share how well we're doing with our farms and all that. And it really is such a huge time suck. Is it fun? Yes. Is it something that ultimately matters? No. You know, but it's fine if you can manage it, and it's not something that you're doing all the time.
Yeah, but it's so easy to let those things become addictive. And, you know, let me tell you, I can remember when I played certain games in my life, you know, like playing Legend of Zelda on the Super Nintendo. You know, I remember playing that. I remember beating it. Do I remember a damn bit of playing Farmville? No.
Oh, no.
How many hours did I spend playing Farmville?
Oh, let's go milk the cow and get some eggs. Oh, we got to feed the cow and feed the chickens. You're not doing anything. I mean, you're really doing nothing when you're doing some of these games. Not like I play that Valiant Heroes. It's actually like I'm having to use my brain to figure out how to build a deck, how to read what other players doing. So it is actually a challenge, and that actually is doing something. But if I did it 12 hours a day, then no, that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it with me too, is I'm realizing that. So, you know, I've been through a lot in the last, I don't know, 5+ years, between family and health and stuff. And I've had, I mean, the health stuff that I've dealt with has definitely, derailed myself a lot. And I've, a lot of parts of who I am, parts of what, you know, my strong suits, I guess, like had eroded away. And as I've gotten back on top of everything, like I still, you know, I think a big part of it is I realize something is missing mentally with me. You know, I'm somebody who, I've always really challenged myself mentally. When I first started dating my wife, years ago, there was a website called 43 Things, and it was a website where you would make goals. You'd set goals for yourself. I mean, essentially you were blogging about goals, but just the interface was really nice for, you know, my goal is this, and you could search people's goals. So you know, people would have the same kind of goals. So I, 1 year we both made a goal about reading, and we both tracked how many books we read that year. And, I think I read something in the 70s. I've read over 70 novels, or other books that year. And like, that's still something I look back at. I'm like, man, that's more than a book a week, you know?
That's a lot. That's an impressive number to accomplish. It's probably, yeah, before you know, it's
like back then I was able to just fly through books and challenge myself like that. And, now it's like I find myself hardly being able to focus on reading 10 pages in a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's one thing is I've just recognized, like, I've lost a piece of myself and I need to get that piece back, and I'm losing it to, like, what am I losing it to? You know, comics are enjoyable, but for me, in moderation, because there's other things I want to enjoy that, you know, for some people that we know that comics is their number one obsession. Well, that's totally fine. But are they playing video games? Are they, I don't know. There's other things like that that don't have they don't have certain benefits to them. Like, you know, like that, you know, is really like challenging and developing you. So it's like, if that's your big thing is doing that, that's cool. You know, my cousin Mike, his biggest thing is wrestling, and he likes other stuff too, but wrestling is far and away his number one. And I don't have anything that's far and away my number one. So if I put too much credence into all these things that none of them are my number one, but then I start to treat them all like that, then I just take away from everything. But I think I've just recognized for myself, like, I need to start reading books. I need to challenge my mind again and get my mind being able to process differently than it can right now.
Yeah. And part of that probably is the fact that social media, addiction probably has had an effect also, in addition to other things in your life. Because it really is. I mean, it's like that urge to see, well, what's going on? Am I being left out? Am I missing something that's happening? And for somebody that has read 70 books in a year to go to, I mean, and the thing is, you read a lot. I mean, comics are literature. It's just a different thing, you know? I mean, you're actually using, when you read a comic book, I remember reading an article, you're using both sides of your brain. And that's one of the only things you can do that you're actually doing that. So, cause you're like visualizing and looking at the art and you're reading. And so it's a different thing, but you know, you gotta find what brings you joy and spin the plates to where that you're trying to find kind of a balance between everything that makes you happy. Because this other day, you know, you're trying to, for me personally, the way the things are, there's always new stuff being pushed out. always something new. Oh, well, this is new. There's a new band. Let's check this band out. There's a new comic book. There's a new book. There's a new show. And then I realized the other day, I went with my wife to a birthday party for somebody she used to work for. It's weird because the same person actually babysat me when I was a kid. And it's a very strange thing. But there was this guy playing there. He's just like a singer-songwriter guy, just a young guy coming up playing acoustic guitar. And he's mostly doing covers. And he played a song by a band that I loved like 10 years ago. And I'm like, I can't believe this kid, first of all, and he's in his like early 20s, knew this band. And I was like, God, I really loved that band. But I dropped off because I'm so, you're following the, well, what's new, what's great, trying to keep up with stuff like that. You know, part of that is the fact that I got so addicted to listening to podcasts that I stopped keeping up with my love of music and the bands that I really loved. And then I was like, well, if I forgot that band and let them drop, what other band? I went through like a couple of nights for this week with my wife. And I'm like, God, this guy is still recording and I haven't listened to any of his new stuff. And this guy is still doing it. Sometimes you got to look back and just embrace the things that really do matter instead of letting everything, the rush forward to constantly find something new, do something different. I feel what you're saying when you're trying to get what you mean about trying to get your brain right, because I've been through that too. And I'm still in the process of doing it. The big thing, like with Facebook, used to be addicted to got to check Facebook. Got to see what's people saying on Facebook. And I ultimately realized that it really doesn't matter that much. Check in, see things. It's fine. But when it's a constant thing, when it's all the time, and with Twitter, the same thing where you're constantly doing it, it's not a really necessarily a healthy thing for you.
Yeah. And it starts to make it easy to make other people's priorities your own. Like, obviously, we both have a great affinity for comic books, but there's a lot that could be associated with that. I mean, we read comic books, but there's comic book movies, there's comic book TV shows, there's comic book podcasts. Podcast was the first thing that was easier for me to draw the line with. The joke kind of became that I don't listen to podcasts. I do listen to podcasts a little bit. I mean, that's why I got started doing all this stuff. I just do it in moderation. I don't have much of a drive time to work. It's about 20 minutes. And I can't listen to podcasts at work, as opposed to most of our friends. So, we have friends that I would try to ask them what they thought about something. Well, I talked about that on my podcast, so listen to my podcast. Well, fuck off your podcast. I don't want to listen to your goddamn podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you're my friend. I'm trying to talk to you. If that's how you're going to talk to me, fuck that. So I was able to draw that line, but it's still frustrating. And it still frustrates me that, we have, friends that, they have their priorities. And when you can't do that, there's no understanding. I'd ask about a book. Well, why don't you just read it? Why are you even at, why ask about it? Just read it. Cause I don't have the time to read everything. Yeah. Like, I can't read as much as my friends can. So if I ask your opinion, either give me your opinion or fucking shut up about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to give an opinion, just piss off, So it can get really frustrating because everybody has their priorities. And if you try to make their priorities yours, you don't do the things that you enjoy or you want to do. But then when they, they have their priorities and then they can't understand why you're not prioritizing what's important to them. It just isn't, infuriating too.
Yeah.
Makes it hard to interact with people when that happens. But it's so easy to get derailed onto what other people want or what other people do. And I think that, it's funny looking at how social media has been and looking at even just looking at the microcosm of, our friends, but going back to even before I knew you or you knew any of us, going back to the beginning of the Valiant Central podcast, when I, randomly stumbled into Martin on the Valiant Facebook fan page and just seeing all the stuff that erupted from it and seeing how all of these people that I met over this time have evolved and changed and, people who, some of the things I just said, they used to piss me off doing those things and they don't do those things anymore because they've evolved and changed.
Yeah.
And realized that things aren't this way or that way, or they've had different priorities. It's really interesting to see that. And I remember, I don't know, a couple years ago, I never like to mention my job on podcasts, but with my job, social media had been a focus, of course, obviously social media advertising is big with anything, but, a lot of stuff with social media. And I made a comment like, I think people are starting to backlash against social media to an extent. They don't want to be so heavily engaged all the time. And that was kind of like, what are you crazy? That was sort of the response that I got. But I really think it's the case. People are starting to understand what being online all the time does and what social media does. And I think that we're starting to finally get to the point where people, like, obviously look at Twitter. It's full of idiots and assholes.
Oh, yeah.
But we're getting to the point where people who aren't on there to purposefully be idiots and assholes are either wanting to get away from it, or they're blocking everybody that is adding any kind of negativity to their life, or different things like that. I tweeted something earlier. I've been thinking about it a lot. And this has been on my mind for a bit, but the two things you see heavily, they're these two mentalities. And it seems like the majority of people hold so fast to one or the other that they don't see the opposite one. So people should care and look out for each other.
Yes.
That's a true thing. People should. But at the same time, the world doesn't owe you anything.
Yeah.
So there are those people who hold on to the world doesn't owe you anything. And they're the ones that they don't want to help anybody, and they don't give a damn about anybody else. And, anybody that needs more consideration, it's like, well, screw them. But then there's the people with the, people should care about each other. That's like, well, look at this. I'm this, I'm that. I get persecuted for these things and all that, but they don't realize the other side of it that, those things are true and we should care, but the world as a whole, it doesn't matter. Like, the world isn't going to care about everybody's individual thing. Right. There's a balance between those things, and everybody, either wants to be an asshole or complain about the assholes, and neither one is accomplishing anything. Both things are true, and you have to realize, we need to be empathetic and we need to be understanding. But the people that aren't empathetic and aren't understanding, if all you're spending your time doing is complaining about them, you're not making the world a better place either.
No. You're absolutely right there. Kind of like, if they're going to be that way, that's fine. Just let them be that way, and then you just go on your own course. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, we had a generation of people who suddenly had all of this technology and connectivity thrust upon them. And now all of a sudden we're in a time and place in the world where everybody has access to us all the time.
Yeah.
On my phone right here, I'm talking to you on it while we record this podcast. I could receive emails, texts, tweets, blah, 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 whatever else. Anybody that has a cause to get a hold of me can. But now it's up to me about whether or not I'm going to let them connect with me that way. And for a while, it's like the expectation was, hey, if anybody wants to connect with you any way, you owe them the instant connection.
Right.
But, that's not true. Screw that. I don't have to have my phone in my pocket all the time. I don't have to respond immediately to somebody.
Well, think about the huge burden that creators, like comic creators or musicians and stuff that have, like, these accounts. What decision process do they have to go through whether or not they respond to? Like, it's like I go on a couple of weeks ago and I tweeted, and I just did it to share because I really was happy about this comic book I'd read. When Conan the Barbarian comic book with Jason Aaron came out, I was really excited about it. And did I expect a reaction from Jason Aaron? No, I didn't. And I didn't get one. But, they're probably getting hammered with a thousand of those a day. So I don't know. Sometimes you'll see things where people get upset if they don't get a reaction from somebody. I don't know.
One of the things that I'm realizing, like just looking at what I actually enjoy seeing on Twitter or anything else, is people who share something that clearly aren't sharing it for the purpose of getting attention for what they're sharing.
Yeah.
You know, they're sharing it because it's something they enjoy and they literally just want to put that out there. And those are the things that I enjoy seeing.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing those things the most. So, you know, I took the Twitter app off my phone. I can still log on to Twitter on my browser. So if I want to post a picture or something, I could do it through my phone. Cause I sure as hell ain't taking a picture and uploading it to my computer, to tweet it out. So that's the only way that's going to happen. So, you know, like, I don't know if I actually, you know, I find some good comics at my comic shop that, you know, there's not a lot of, hunting and digging options for me. But if I find something good that I'm excited about, I can go and share that. And, you know, people like seeing that stuff, and that's more enjoyable to me. And it's more enjoyable to them. And that's the things that I enjoy seeing and that sort of thing. But yeah, you know, like I'm thinking about all the different ways that I could take a step back from technology and from giving people access to me, from seeking, you know, that constant interaction with people, from getting distracted by stuff. You know, something I'm thinking a lot more about, you know, like reading digital comics still has its place and is fine and is going to be a prevalent way that I read comics, but it doesn't have to be the only way. And I want to start reading more physical things. I want to start reading more books. I want to start spending more time not accessible to people. Yeah, it's like I was talking to my wife, like she likes reading a lot of different stuff. She's a natural speed reader, so she reads stuff quickly. So like she blows through books like crazy and, you know, still needs other stuff to read. And I know she likes reading blogs and stuff online, but like I was asking her, you know, would she like to get a newspaper subscription so she has more options and stuff to read that's not just sitting reading stuff on her phone?
Yeah.
And like even with that stuff, like she would still have the capacity to enjoy the things that she enjoys online, reading blogs and stuff. Like, you know, for me, I need to get away from the phone stuff, get away from the online stuff. I need to have my phone. I have a habit of having my phone on silent because I have it on silent when I'm at work.
Yeah.
So I just leave it on silent. But then if it's on silent, if I'm going to get an alert from somebody, I have to have it on me. So then I have my phone on me all the time. So then I constantly feel like not only, you know, connected if I have my phone sitting over on the counter and I hear it ring where, oh, I should go answer that. My phone's ringing. But every thing is like, oh, is my phone vibrating? You know, what's going on? And then you start getting anxious and worried. And
yeah.
I'm going to get away from all that.
Well, you know, part of it, and for me, a lot of it is like being focused in the present, what you're actually doing. Like if I'm sitting with my wife, and I've noticed I've done this, and I've noticed she's done this, and we'll be in the middle of a conversation, oh, there's a phone call. Well, the phone call, like I'll get a phone call. Maybe it should wait or a text. I've caught myself, you know, where we're talking or she's talking and I'll get a text and I'll like that urge. I need to look at this text. No, I don't. I need to focus on what my wife is saying to me right here. And you know, it's a thing. It's a new situation that hasn't existed for people ever. I mean, think about it. And when you were a kid, it didn't exist. The only thing that could interrupt something that was going on in your house was a phone call or a knock on the door, right? Now it's like wherever you are, I call it a leash. The phone is a leash. It's like, and it's amazing how people get upset. This is like people that I like actually you see on a daily basis or interact with on all the time for like work or family, how upset they get. If you don't immediately answer a phone call because they know you have your phone with you all the time. Well, you know what? There's times I'm doing something that I don't want to answer the phone and talk. You know, you and I have an understanding that you'll send me a text with the understanding is I might be doing something and you're not going to get your feelings hurt if I don't respond in 10 minutes. Sometimes it might be an hour or 2 hours because you're at work or I'm at work. But you would be surprised how many people get upset if you don't immediately, cause I watched this with my oldest daughter. she's this generation that her entire social life is on her phone. And it's not through talking. It's through texting and messaging and Snapchat. I'm not trying to pick on her because I couldn't imagine growing up with that resource. But, like, she will get upset if she will send up, she sends a message to a friend and she knows that friend is got her phone and not at school or at work and doesn't immediately respond. And I try to tell her, like, you cannot do that. You cannot hold people to that level of accountability when, because life is happening elsewhere for them. They might be eating. They might be going to the restroom with their phone, you know, in left in their bedroom, all kinds of stuff. That's why I've always considered it like a leash. I mean, my dad, I'll give an example, personal example. My dad gets extremely upset if I don't answer the phone within like two rings because he knows I've got it. What if I'm cooking dinner with my wife, or what if I'm dealing with something with my daughter? He doesn't understand that I just can't drop everything. But a lot of people, I think, are like that. I don't know.
So, you know, we've made a point on our podcast of keeping it clean. And, you know, like I'm obviously giving you a little bit of work on this episode. But, you know, one of the things with my family, so going back a handful of years, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years, my mom had cancer. And, you know, so she called me up one day and, oh, you know, it was funny too, because of course, like right before this, something with social media, she actually pissed me off pretty good because of, reposting some pretty stupid about Colin Kaepernick, which is something that I'm sensitive to. You know, I mean, he was the quarterback for my team. But also, just the stuff people would say and post and share without thinking about was stupid. And it was reposting stupid things from people that made themselves sound sensible, you know? So anyway, so she pissed me off, and I called her out on it, and I was pissed off. And then she texted me about, hey, I need to talk to you. So I thought she wanted to talk to me about that. Like, you know, she wanted to you know, address it and get over it and whatever. I was like, it's, you know, whatever. And so finally I called her and she told me she had cancer. So, you know, that was quite a thing there, but I also told her, like, yeah, next time you have something that important to say, you don't say, hey, I need to talk to you when you have time. You tell me to make time to call you. That's different, you know? But so, I mean, now, long story short with that, just so nobody is worrying, is she's cancer-free now. Like,
that's good. You
know, she had surgery and she's cancer-free right now. So that's good. But, you know, in the course of this, when it was still ambiguous and, you know, she had a malignant tumor, she called me and asked me if she could make me, what do you call it? The person who has the power to pull the plug. So she set me up for that. And the reason why was she knew that I would do what needed to be done. But not only that, but if anybody, gave me crap about it, that I wouldn't have two problems telling them to go f themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family, friends, whatever, doesn't matter. Obviously, that's a pretty extreme circumstance. But I think we kind of have to have that mentality when people have this mentality of, well, you know, I called you. Why didn't you answer? Well, fuck you. I'm busy. That's why I didn't answer, yeah. You know?
And there's another thing about when everything is text-based, a lot of it is through Facebook or Twitter or just texting. There's lots of times when, like, I could just, like, let's say I make a joke. I've done this, like, I think with my wife, or a friend of hers has done it with her, or she's done it with somebody, and she means it a certain way, but because she's not verbally there saying it to their face or on the phone even, or I'm not there with an expression with a smile on my face and a wink in my eye, that it comes across as just like, well, you're a huge jerk. Why would you say that? That happens a lot. Sometimes people don't really get the full context of where people are coming at when they send a message. Sometimes people are making a joke. And maybe it's not a good time to make a joke, but they do it, not meaning it well, because they're not thinking that much about they're actually going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's another huge thing that I've noticed happening more and more with this whole, and it's a weird thing. It used to be that interacting with people is through phone calls. And now it's all like you're sending these written messages. I remember how weird it was when text came into existence. I'm like, my cousin I used to live with, he'd come home and I'd never sent a text, and he'd come home late at night after being out with some friends and he'd be typing on his phone. I'm like, why are you typing on your phone? And he's like, I'm sending a text. I'm like, why don't you just call him? And he's like, I don't need to. It's a text. And then he'd spend the next 30 minutes texting back and forth to this person. But, you know, I get it. Now I get it. At the time, it was like a weird thing. So, yeah, and this generation of our lives, everybody's, you know, social media thing that's happening is really weird. We're still trying to figure it out.
It's funny, you know, it's like when you think about it, texting is it is just absolutely like a passive aggressive form of communication. Like everything about it is just like lending into like passive aggressive way of behaving, isn't it? Because you're not face to face. You're not like, you know, there's no accountability for, you know, making snide comments or something like that. And, you know, I mean, obviously, like for the most part, people use texting just to communicate, but like it's just everything about it is like this. Like, well, I sent you this text, you know. If you read it, you read it. If you don't, you don't, you know, but at least I told you, you know, it's real passive. And, you know, like thinking back to, especially over the last year or two has been better, but like the few years between when my son was born and then when I kind of, you know, we got a better grasp on everything. Yeah. A lot was going on in like, health wise and emotion wise and dealing with, you know, issues with my son and, just all sorts of stuff like that. It gets really easy to, get emotional about how you interact with people and not being understood or not understanding what they're trying to say or whatever and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's like, you know, I think ultimately it comes down to now if somebody doesn't want to be understanding is, you know, when you're face to face with somebody, it's really easy to like see if they're understanding you or not, or if they don't care, or if they're whatever, and to be like, well, screw this, screw you. But when it's through messages online, like it's so slow paced and like just the way you're communicating is a passive way of communicating. It's hard to know, like, should I be irritated by this or should I be pissed off or what, you know?
That, and I think people feel a lot more comfortable just saying it, typing it out with their thumbs. They probably will, they're more likely to say things they wouldn't say if you were face to face.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that's so bad that it's a cliche now, you know, that people will be like that and be ridiculous. Because it's that you really easy to have a lot of courage when you're not saying it with your own voice, you know,
yeah.
And when you don't have somebody there to confront you with it. You know, like some of the stuff that people will say, you know, I guess actually, you know, I was going to tell a story, but I realized I don't want to because it's too much of a work story and I don't like to talk work.
No.
But it's, you know, so easy for people to react one way when they're just sending a message and to not be responsible for it. And long story short, I recently, you know, had conversations with some people and told them like, look, you know, I understand how you were feeling, but, this wasn't okay. You know, so next time you say this, you better damn well mean it. Yeah, so. I don't know, just all that stuff. Everything is so easy to take a piece of our mind away from us. And you know what? I'm in a place now where I am taking it back. I'm tired of this and I'm taking my mind back and I'm doing what I want to do with it. And I think that everybody that's taking the time to listen to this should really think about that. And if something is causing you to feel like it's a burden, change it. Do something about it. Get rid of stuff. Even if you think it's something, you know, there's so many things that we enjoy that are not worth it.
Yeah.
Because all it's doing is taking away from something that we really enjoy.
I understand where you're coming from on this. I might not be able to articulate it as well as you have, but it's something that I've thought of a lot about. It all comes back to focus on the things that mean the most, prioritizing that. And I really did enjoy that, that example that you said you got from your boss about spinning the plates, because you always want to keep the most important plates. And I think I even told you that when we were talking about this. It's like, okay, as long as you can focus and get the main plates, work and family, and keep them spinning fine, then you add another plate, right? And work on it. And then you might drop it, but that's fine. Because every magician drops lots of plates when they're practicing. So it's all about like being yourself and focusing on what you like and just going on with it and not letting things that don't matter control you. You know, like your phone. Don't let Twitter control you. Like, you've got time. Maybe it's nice to sometimes sit for 5 minutes without looking at your phone and just enjoying the silence. I've actually tried to do more of that.
You know, one thing that I forget where I saw it, read it, heard it, whatever, but we need time for our brains to be bored. Because when our brains are bored, that's when our brains work and they get creative and they challenge themselves. And so much is done in that time of boredom in your brain. And everybody's just constantly trying to fill all those little bits of boredom now. You know, it's like, there's so many things there that you can occupy your brain with. But I challenge everybody, you know, you, Sparky, myself, everybody needs to challenge themselves. You need more time where you're not doing anything, where you're not listening to music or a podcast while you're driving, where you're not looking at Twitter while you're on a break. I saw a meme somebody posted of, you know, what we used to do when we were on the toilet when we didn't have smartphones, and somebody just looking at a bottle of shampoo, yeah, reading the label.
Yeah.
Everybody that existed before smartphones knows good and damn well that you sat there and read a bottle of shampoo while you were taking a crap at some point in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there was a point in our lives where we weren't constantly having something to occupy our minds, and we had to find ways to occupy our minds by thinking.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. To the extent that I've actually seen things that it is important for kids to be bored, because, yeah, that's where creativity comes from. I believe in do something with your time. Make the most of it, because the older I get, the more I realize It is a precious thing, and you should make the most of all you can. I gripe about my kid with her phone, and she's a creative person, but I wish she would spend more time being creative than looking at what other people have been creative about and posted online. You're not to that point with your son yet to where you have to worry about that, but you really should think about that before you give your kid a phone, because that phone is going to take over all their time. They're not doing schoolwork or chores or whatever else. It's a huge negative. I'm happy I grew up without something that could easily fill my boredom so that I could focus on other things. Picking up and reading a book, you know, going outside and doing stuff, you know, imagining that I was going to go outside and when I was a really tiny kid and dig a hole and try to find a treasure. Even though I knew that it wasn't there, but it was fun to pretend I was going to go outside. It's imagination, you know. Where does imagination, if you're constantly, it's a twofold thing. I mean, yeah, we're talking about things we read and we consume things. But at the same time, you also have to use your own brain and have kind of a fantasy life and imagine things yourself. If you're a creative person, I guess. I mean, some people are just consumers, and that's fine.
Well, so I think even those people, you may not be able to express your creativity, but there's creativity in your mind in some way, shape, or form, and you need the time for your mind to be able to work on that stuff. Like, you may not be able to draw, you may not be able to write stories, you may not be able to make music, but your mind is creating something in there with everything that's coming into it.
That's true. That's very true. And in fact, a lot of good books, the creativity is, a lot of some of the best books are ones that leave something kind of hanging, and you fill that gap in. You know, with a comic book, you're pretty much presented with how things are, or a movie, you see this is what they look like. Some books, you kind of got to fill in the gaps. Like, I've read a book, I remember reading like Treasure Island. I had a vision of what Long John Silver looked like when I was a kid. And then when I saw the movie, I'm like, well, that's not how I envisioned it, but okay. And, you know, people are more creative. There are all kinds of creativity. My wife and I have talked about this a lot. Just because you're not a poet or a novelist or a comic book writer or an artist, you might be a heck of an omelet maker. And that's creativity. You know, follow whatever it is you can do to explore things and better yourself. I don't know. It's a big discussion we've had here. Get back to one thing that you brought up earlier about how people have changed. Everybody pretty much on that has a podcast on Nerd Legion, except for some of the newer things like Joey and Bill with the Bad Pod and all that. We all met each other through a love for Valiant, and it's interesting to see how everybody has evolved in away from that, except for me. I've been reading Valiant. I've actually been trying to catch up, but that's just the way things are. It's a natural thing. It's just been a weird, this whole thing that I'm actually talking to you is a weird circumstance that I went from just being a fan of Valiant, looking for a Valiant podcast, where I met a bunch of people that I actually do like and enjoy their, I guess you'd call it company, even though it's just a virtual company. That's a positive, I think, from this whole social media thing, when we've been talking about a lot of the negatives, but there is a lot of positive that can be gained from it.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it, is it's such a powerful tool for potential good that is almost exclusively used for negative.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you know how much power they get from their negativity when you react to it, a lot. They feed on it. I know people that live on drama and personal life. There's people that if there's not something bad happening or they can't make something into a crisis, then they feel like they need to do something else to create a crisis. They feed off of negative energy. And I don't have any time for people like that, personally. You know, I'll interact with people and focus on trying to have conversations about things that are good. But if you come in with me something negative and just keep piling it on, I mean, I don't mind if you say you don't like something. That's fine. You and I disagree on lots of things about what we consider something worth our time. But I don't think lesser of you because you think you're not into Star Wars like I am. That's just because everybody's different. It's just like focus on what's best for you and try to find connections with people that have similar interests and learn from people that have interests that are different. I mean, one of the joys that I have from listening to podcasts is I don't read a lot of like DC comics, hardly any, or Marvel in the past, but I like learning what's being done. So that's a benefit of the whole new thing we've got going on, is like we can learn about things that are going on, and maybe you can find something new that can interest you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there to enjoy. I had mentioned earlier, you know, like being into comics, there's a lot of things you can enjoy. Comics, movies, TV shows. And, you know, we have some friends who do it all. They watch all the comic TV shows and on top of reading comics and stuff like that. And, one thing I've realized is I pretty much do not like comic TV shows. And part of it is just I don't have the time. You know, you can get into anything if you want to and if you can invest the time in it. But for comic TV shows, the Netflix shows, they're what, 13 episodes usually? Like Daredevil, Jessica Jones, all those shows. So if they're 13 episodes, an hour a piece, it's 13 hours you're dedicating. That's what, like six movies?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
or maybe two of the new Avengers movie, maybe, you know? You know, it's a lot of time, to invest in something. I mean, that's like starting a novel and realizing you're not really enjoying it, you know, 100 pages in and reading the next 300 pages.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know when to cash out on it. So for me, for comic TV shows, is none of them have just crossed that threshold of, they're not, you know, it's not like I watch a couple episodes and then I'm like, oh man, I got to have more of this. I love it, you know?
Yeah.
I watch a couple episodes. I'm like, this is awful. Why am I watching this? Let me watch more because everybody else is. I tried like hell to watch Arrow. And I watched over a season and then like I stopped for a little bit. When I tried to go back, I was like, I don't want to watch this at all. I haven't tried with other shows because same thing, you know, if I give them a dabble, they're not drawing me in. You know, Daredevil drew me in real good. Jessica Jones, I had a hard time watching. When I finally got into it, I did enjoy it though. But a lot of the other ones, and you know, I'm seeing everybody's opinions are all over the place. There are some shows that, you know, half my friends hate, half my friends love.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you can't listen to what, I think this is the best show. Doesn't mean anything if you don't enjoy it. You know, my wife and I, we got a CBS All Access subscription for a month because I was supposed to get a free week trial, but it just charged me. So whatever. I just said, you know what? She's been wanting, well, I wouldn't say she's been wanting. They have that Star Trek show on there and she likes Star Trek. So I told her, you should watch this, you know? I got to watch the Super Bowl, That was boring. And you know, she's been watching the Star Trek show, but we've been watching Young Sheldon, and we had watched some of that before just streaming from the CBS, you know, website. And it, you know, I'd watch it. It was enjoyable, but it wasn't something that I was like, oh man, I can't wait to see the next episode. And when we started watching it on the CBS app, I told my wife, it's like, yeah, you know, I enjoy this, but I don't feel invested in it. And then we watched a few more episodes. And after watching a few episodes, like close together, I started feeling a lot more invested in it. And I wanted to see the next episode. And I wanted to see what happened with the characters. We're capable of that with anything, but, you know, you can't make what somebody else thinks is important be the thing that you sell yourself on either, you know?
That's true. I can see that. Yeah, like, I kind of fell off of trying to keep up and be on top of every, movie that comes out that's comic book related a long time ago. Just because going to the movies and, you know, scheduling the time and finding something like my wife would be interested in watching. I mean, she actually did enjoy watching, I think, because we watched it, the second season of Punisher. Which ended up being, it actually surprised me at how I personally thought it was a really good story. The way they crafted it. We did devote the time for that, but you know, I didn't watch the third season of Daredevil. I never watched Jessica Jones because I heard beforehand that one of the Purple Man, David Tennant, correct? I didn't know what I was going to see, but I heard some things about it and I just didn't want to subject myself to that. I'm sure it was a good show because, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but at the same time, it's like, I'm okay with it. Other people like it. That's fine. I don't know if it's good or not. Maybe someday I will sit down and watch it. You know, and for me, that's the thing. Our time, we pretty much, when we watch something, it's something that my wife and I both want to watch. I will sometimes force her to watch something, and hope she likes it. And it's always with the precursor that if you do not enjoy this, we will stop. And usually there's something of value to it. My wife just handed me a note. Let's see. Oh, she said, did you say how weird it was that we got done with Punisher and then started watching another Netflix show called Kimmy Schmidt and the Punisher was on it? Yeah, that was weird. I thought for some reason, because I'm an idiot sometimes, I thought that the 10th episode was the last episode. And then I realized at one point that, oh no, there's 3 more episodes, 13 episodes. But I'd already promised our oldest daughter we'd start watching the show called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. because the second half of the last season was on. So we finish the 10th episode of The Punisher, and we start it up, and who's there but The Punisher is on that show being some tough detective guy. It is a weird coincidence. That's my wife's contribution to this podcast, how weird things can, the weird connections that exist out there.
Yeah, it's always funny when you come across that. Yeah, we watched, I enjoyed the first season of Kimmy Schmidt. When my wife started in the second season, I kind of lost interest, and I think she did. She lasted longer than me, but we kind of lost interest in it. But
it is all right. I mean, I think it was stronger at the beginning, and it kind of, it probably is good that it's done, because I don't see how long you can string that out. But it is a fun show.
Yeah. But yeah, just goes to show, you know, you, it's easy to get caught up in what other people like or think is good. You know, it's just like we talked, I think, last episode about Macklemore. And Macklemore, I had never had any interest in getting into Macklemore. You had talked about him before, and even then I still was like, whatever, I don't care. And then my wife got me to watch some Macklemore videos, and I've been listening to a lot of Macklemore. And, you know, it still may not be something I'd rank up there with, like, you know, music that's going to have a lasting impact on me forever, but I've been enjoying it, and I'm still enjoying it at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, who cares what anybody else thinks? You know, one of my other friends, joked about, you know, losing respect for me because I liked Macklemore.
It's like, oh, you know, okay. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. You don't like Macklemore, but I enjoyed it. My wife wants to listen to rap, so why am I going to complain?
Why complain? Yeah. And that's a funny thing, yeah.
I'd be like, you know, if my wife wanted to watch the Green Lantern movie, would I complain, or would I be excited she wanted to watch a superhero movie? I've never seen the Green Lantern movie. I'm trying to use an example of an awful movie, but
yeah.
you know, it's like, even if it's not the best thing, if it's in the realm of something you enjoy, you just support it. But yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed Macklemore, and ultimately, you know, he is obsessed with Batman, so obviously he has poor taste too.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't catch that about the Batman connection. Nah, after you said, I went back and we started listening to a lot more of it. I was like, God, that's another one that I did enjoy. I mean, is he my favorite thing in the world? No, but does he bring me joy? Yeah, I enjoy listening to him. Yeah, especially there's a lot of his songs that just make me happy to hear. Like you brought up Downtown. That's kind of a silly song. It's a very silly song, but it makes me happy when I hear it. You know,
Exactly. So speaking of Batman, I've actually been thinking about this a lot because when I got back into comics this last time, the time that kept, I started out by reading Batman. I had read comics on two previous stints to a much smaller extent, but it pretty much stayed away from superhero stuff. And so when I started reading comics, this last time after we moved to Maine, I started out with reading Batman. I was getting all kinds of Batman trades and stuff, and I was enjoying it. And, you know, now you jump to now where I've read a lot of stuff, you know, and it's not like before where it just was all kind of new and interesting to me. And, I have no interest in reading current Batman. I don't know how much interest I have in going back and rereading the stuff that I've read. I don't know how interested I am at reading other stuff I haven't read. I think part of it is I'm afraid that if I go back and read the stuff that I liked, I'm going to find that I don't like it anymore. So I'm kind of questioning, like, I would, like, literally have just been thinking about this last few days. Like, I'm kind of questioning, you know, because I've always had in my head that I really like Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do anymore. Like, you know, you were just mentioning how you're not very familiar with DC, or you don't read a lot of DC stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've always just kind of taken for granted at this point that I'm a fan of Batman. But now that I think about it, I'm podcasting on the other podcast with a big Batman fan.
Oh yeah,
obviously I was podcasting on Valiant Central podcast with Martin, who's a big Batman fan. I don't know if I give a damn about Batman.
What do you think of the movies, though? The Batman movies, going back to the early ones back, Michael Keaton or the Christopher Nolan ones. Do you like those?
So, I mean, I haven't watched them in a long time is the thing. So it's easy for me to say now what I remember. I mean, even going back to the Adam West Batman, which obviously I didn't watch when that came out because I wasn't alive by a long shot. But I watched that as a young adult and it was hilarious. You know, like we enjoyed the heck out of it, me and my friends. The Michael Keaton era Batman, you know, he was the first two, but then there were two after that, but it was all like the same era of Batman. And I don't even really know how they weren't even all the same director, but somehow those four right. movies are all like in the same scope.
Yeah.
Not the same actor, not the same director, but they're, I don't know. It's just kind of weird to think of it that way. But, that first one with Jack Nicholson as the Joker, like I remember really liking that one. I have no idea how long it's been since I've seen that. I just really watched that movie again. I remember some things of it really strongly. The second one, I only vaguely remember, and that was still Michael Keaton, and that was the one with the Penguin, right?
I think so,
and,
yeah.
And the two after that, yeah. I just remember being basically a joke. I loved them as a kid, but you know now it's like you look back and they're kind of a joke.
I have zero memory of the final two.
Yeah, I only vaguely remember. I remember the movie where Batman and Robin had nipples on their suit.
Oh, yeah.
And Batgirl didn't. So guys have nipples and girls don't? What's going on there? I don't know. It's just weird. Poor choices all around. but in the Christopher Nolan ones, like I remember thinking the first one was good. The second one with Heath Ledger as the Joker, I absolutely loved that. And I remember going to see it in the movie theater, and I remember my wife, who at that time was not my wife yet, to kind of show time frame, like the first movie I saw before I was dating her, and then when we went to see that one, it was around my birthday and I wanted to see it. She didn't want to see it because she thought it was a horror movie based on just what she had been hearing about it.
Yeah.
And then she realized because we had a couple good friends who were a couple, that were, into some, you know, pretty fun nerdy stuff like us. And, they wanted to see it. So finally when she realized like, oh, this isn't a horror movie, then she acquiesced and we went and saw it. And, like all four of us really enjoyed it, but I still remember when we were leaving the movie, hearing somebody complaining about his growly Batman voice, you know?
Yeah.
And, like all four of us were just like, it's stupid to complain about, like, whatever, like, what are you complaining about? It was a great movie when he's Batman, whatever. He's making a growly voice because he's scary. You know, I still think that's funny. Like people still make fun of that.
Yeah.
And I still think it's a ridiculous thing to make fun of. You know,
I see why they make fun of it, but that's still my favorite those are still my favorite Batman movies.
Yeah. I would say the first Michael Keaton one with the Joker and then that one are my two favorite Batman movies. The third one I finally watched on DVD or whatever, and I vaguely remember it because it was pretty damn boring. Since then, what has there been? Batman versus Superman, which was a total mess to watch. And then he was in the Suicide Squad movie, which just felt like really cracked out and weird.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people talk about how Ben Affleck is the best Batman. I don't see that. I enjoy Justice League. Like, you know, some people criticize Justice League. I enjoy Justice League. I don't think Ben Affleck is any kind of a great Batman. I also think he's a piece of shit person that makes me not want to watch him be Batman.
How much does that influence you, how you take him as Batman, though?
I didn't know he was a piece of shit when I watched Batman vs. Superman, which was a piece of shit movie. So.
Okay. I got you.
I don't know. Like, he doesn't impress me. And I'm not saying that he's bad. I'm just saying I don't get people that say how great he is. And obviously he's fitting something. And, you know, these are people that are, you know, like Martin, who's a really big Batman fan. So obviously, like, he's fitting, he's fitting something that they see in Batman that hasn't been fitted as well before.
Okay.
And I can understand that, but then these are also people that can't understand why I have a hard time watching the Hellboy movie, because it's like a cartoon version of the comic book. It's like ridiculous. The way the Hellboy movies, like, you know, the two old ones with, Ron Perlman as Hellboy, he's fawning over Liz Sherman in that first movie. That is nothing like what their relationship was like. I have a big problem with that. It makes it really hard for me to watch the movie. So they can't understand that, but how dare anybody not think Batman versus Superman is great and think that, you know, Ben Affleck is the best Batman that's ever existed.
Since we're talking about Batman, did you see the news that there's going to be a Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I think it's an animated movie.
I did. I wasn't able to look at the article because it was all through the course of today and I've been busy. That should be a lot of fun. I enjoyed the comic book series. You know, they had two volumes of it. That should be a ton of fun. I mean, the Ninja Turtle cartoon stuff has been great. They've had a lot of obviously good Batman animated stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Batman's a character that, like, I've always had an affinity for. But I think after years of reading comics now, I'm realizing that I just don't have the same interest in DC as I do with Marvel. There's a difference between the two in how they're driven, I guess. It's kind of the types of characters they have. And yeah, I mean, like, I still have lots of fondness for Batman, but, like, I just don't know if I want to go back and read Batman. I don't know if I have any interest in reading Batman anymore.
I'm going to read some Batman. I'm going to be the anti-you here. I'm going to make it a goal to go and find, because DC just, you know, got on Comixology Unlimited. I'm going to go back and pick up some Batman and see what I think about it.
You should do that, and then maybe I'll read it too and we could discuss it, because maybe, you know, like I said, I think it's an apprehension for going back and reading stuff because I'm afraid I'm not going to like something that I enjoyed before.
Right.
Because I've read a lot of Batman. I don't think a lot of people realize how much Batman I've read, but I'm sure you've read Batman
a lot more than me. I've read some, and I've enjoyed what I've read. But it's not something that I became to a point where I'm going to keep up with it constantly.
I pretty much, when I started reading comics again, I read all the Batman trades I could find before I started reading anything else. I was just eating them up. So I read The Long Halloween, and I read all the other Jeff Loeb stuff, and I read Nightfall, and I read the Dark Knight stuff, and I read... can't even remember what else. Like, I read a lot of freaking Batman before I even touched anything else. You know, and then I was reading the New 52 Batman series for quite a while. And then I got bored and finally dropped it. You know, I started reading the Tom King Batman series, and I still think it's fine. But I also still, like, I read it for a while, and then I got kind of bored, and I finally dropped it.
I really enjoyed that. Because actually, you sent me a lot of issues from the beginning. That's back when you were doing a DC podcast with Ronnie and Aaron. And you sent me some of the issues that you had. And I really enjoyed the first several issues until there was an issue where this couple made a boat out of bubble gum. And that just, like, threw me. I'm like, what? I couldn't wrap my head. I was like, I'm done.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, that was a weird, weird situation there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So Tom King's Batman, and then Scott Snyder was the New 52 writer. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that correctly. But I was enjoying both of them, and Tom King had the Gotham Girl and Gotham Boy, or I don't know, whatever the heck. It was a brother and sister. And that story, the way it was going, I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is really good. Uh-huh. And then it got to the end, and it was so weak sauce at the end. It's like everything that they built up, instead of, like, finishing it with a hard punch and being gritty, just, like, pussied out at the end. And I felt it was the same thing with Scott Snyder's Batman when I was reading Death of the Family. And it starts off where the first issue is you're in the police station, the lights go out, and the Joker's there. The lights go out, and they come back on, and a cop is dead.
Oh,
and the lights go out, and the lights come back on, and another cop is dead. It was horrifying. Like, that's the one issue of Batman I've ever in my life read that I was like, this is a horror comic. It's horrifying. Yeah. And that story ended so weak that I stopped reading it. That was when I stopped reading Batman at that time, because it's like they had this awesome story that was so, aggressively challenging, and then they ended soft. You know, they ended like a sitcom does, where, oh, everything's back to normal at the end.
In the way with a lot of things, though, a lot of things are like that sometimes, though. Like, it's like all the energy's put into creating the story, and then when it comes to an ending, the ending is sometimes, like, might be the hardest part to come up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you end in a way that's going to be really impactful, odds are you're changing something that then is hard. You know, it might be taking something away that you could continue with, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... that's the problem with a property that is so big and so old, is what do you do with it? Where do you go with it? You know, so many stories have been told, but you also can't greatly change anything. You know, like, Batman's always Batman and keeps on getting reset to the status quo of what Batman is. You know, it's the same thing with anything that's really long running like that. And that's why some of the best superhero comics I've read, for my taste at least, are the ones that are fringe characters, that the creators are allowed to do what they want to do. Like the Fraction of Hawkeye stuff was fantastic. You know, the Tom King's Vision was something that was very different and good. Like anytime you get with those characters that aren't the characters that are so big that you can't screw with them, those are where it gets really fun and interesting.
I really enjoy the Hawkeye. I really enjoy the Hawkeye book. There, for me though, near the end, and maybe it's just me. Maybe it's something about me when I was reading it. Near the end, it seemed to kind of lag a bit, but then pick back up to the ending.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess at the end. There were a lot of delays. The last issue of that Hawkeye didn't actually come out until after the first issue of Lemire's Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Because it was just like, it became a mess at the end. I kind of think they didn't let Fraction finish it the way that he wanted to. I think they were just trying to get rid of him.
Yeah.
That's kind of the impression. But there were a lot of delays in the book, and I don't know, it was kind of a mess. So unfortunately, that run didn't really end cleanly. But it still was like that. That changed a lot of my perceptions about comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I hate to say it, because I think I really like to talk to you for another, like, an hour at least. We should probably kind of wrap it up here soon, but I want to give a recommendation, or maybe not a recommendation. I want to touch back on the last time we talked. I was supposed to start reading Sandman, and I was going to start reading Sandman. And then DC dumped a lot of books on Comixology Unlimited, and hey, Brian Woods, Northlanders, is there. So I jumped on that, and I started reading that, and you were right to recommend it in previous episodes, because it's really good. I don't think I like it as much as Sword Daughter, because there's just a different feel to it, but it's solid. I actually got my cousin Dave, he's got a free month trial of Comixology Unlimited. He's trying it out, and he's going to check it out, because he's huge into, like, Viking lore and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he looks like a dang Viking with his giant beard. And then I, like, got distracted from that, and I started reading, I started catching up on Valiant. I read Harbinger Wars 2, finally. And then that gave me freedom to go ahead and start reading through the other books. I absolutely loved it. I've loved what Kent did with Exo. I'm going to be an anomaly with a lot of people that we know in our little family of friends that have got to know each other. I'm still loving the stuff Valiant's put out. I'm excited about what they're putting out soon. Psylords, Fred Van Lente is going to do Psylords. And I know that's something that Martin's been looking forward to for a long time. Let's see what he does with it. That I'm excited about. Then I got stuck into Conan. I mentioned it earlier in the episode. And this is a whole other discussion for another time. My obsession with Conan the Barbarian is ridiculous. I've got 3 volumes of Robert E. Howard's writings of the original Conan stories back from the 1930s, right to the right of me here. I've got 2 omnibuses from Dark Horse next to me, and I've got 2 more on Comixology that I bought, and a whole ton of novels. But I got to tell you, Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Azrar, I hope I didn't butcher his name, the artist on it, they're killing it with this. They've completely captured what Conan should be. And one of the things I love the most about it is when the first Conan story ever written by Robert E. Howard back in the, like I said, the 30s, he starts with Conan being a king. And Jason Aaron went back to that. And another thing that Howard did is he jumped around. He never told a linear story. He would tell a story where Conan was king and he's like maybe 50 or in his 40s or 60s, whatever. And then he jumped to a story where Conan was a teenager. And then he'd jump ahead to where he's like in his 20s. He's a pirate. He's a thief. He's a mercenary, whatever. And that's kind of the way Jason Aaron is taking this story is like, he started it out with Conan as king, then he jumps back. And it's the life and death of Conan, which is kind of a big thing for me to jump on. He's going to take it in, like, I think it's 12 issues that he's doing it. It's 12 issue, this giant arc, maybe. I might be wrong. But my recommendation is going to be that. And, you know, Brian Wood, Northlanders, he wrote Conan. Fred Van Lennie, who I just mentioned, he wrote Conan. Cullen Bunn, who's on the Nerd Legion Podcast Network, he wrote Conan for Dark Horse. Roy Thomas. So many great writers have had their hand in this character in comics that I'm just really excited. And this is the first comic I've ever bought religiously. And I don't buy comics on Comixology new. Like, I try to wait for sales. This is one I'm actually, like, pre-ordering. So I have it the day it comes out so I can download it the morning of. And it's not something I necessarily think you might like. You might. I don't know. But, man, I know a lot of people out there are digging it. And I see a lot of good stuff on this evil social media that we've been griping about tonight. Loving it too, though. And that's one of the things I enjoy is when people come together, instead of bashing something, where they all come together like, yes, this is good. And that's when it's a good time to be interacting with people on the Twitterverse and the Facebooks and all that kind of stuff. There's my Conan. My rant.
I'm interested in checking out that Conan too, by the way.
It's pretty cool, man. I've enjoyed the heck out of it. I don't want to talk too much about it right now and spoil it, but I got so obsessed with it that I actually thought about starting doing recording episodes solo where I'm reading through the original written stories and doing like a 15-20 minute episode about this story until I get through all of the Robert E. Howard. And then I start digging into the old Roy Thomas Conan comics and then the Jason Aaron comic and all the Dark Horse stuff. I mean, you could fill 100 episodes easily. And then you got the movies, all that stuff. That's how obsessed I am that I actually considered doing that. And then I'm like, is that a good use of my time? I could be using my time for doing other things. So it's on hold, but it might pop up sometime.
I'll co-sign on that. If you want to do that, I'm all good with it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, but I'm interested in that. I read a little bit of Dark Horse Conan. I was enjoying it, but it wasn't really quite the right time when I was reading it, so I read a little bit and then stopped. But I've been interested in picking up the newer Marvel stuff. Jason Aaron, I think, is great, so that's a good selling point for me.
He's a huge... Ronnie, when the announcement came out that he was a writer, Ronnie shared something with me that Aaron had shared either on social media or in an interview that he's legit. He actually is the guy to write it because he's been reading it his entire life too. And I couldn't imagine somebody. And Savage Sword of Conan came out today when we're recording on Wednesday. The first issue of that. They're actually going to have three comics dedicated to the world of Conan. One is the one that Jason Aaron's writing, Conan the Barbarian. Then there's Savage Sword of Conan, which is going to tell other stories. And then there's going to be another one. I can't remember the title of it. It's not come out. It's going to be coming out like next month, where I think it's going to tell stories. I might be wrong on this. It's going to tell stories like of other things going on in this world. Yeah, I could talk your ear off for another hour about that. So I'm not going to do that. We're going to have to draw it soon. But that's my recommendation. I've got three movies I want to talk about, but I'm going to save those. In a couple of weeks, I've got a lot of time off, and I will be able to record anytime you want to, unless I got a sick kid or something, and we can touch on these things.
All right, so listeners, you can look forward to hearing us talk about Conan and some movies. Yeah, so I'll throw my recommendations out there without talking much about them. So I've been reading The Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn. It's just good to be reading a book again. Of course, I love the Dodgers, and it's interesting hearing about that era of the Dodgers, which includes Jackie Robinson joining the team. So that's been enjoyable. I've been reading that. I just finished reading a Christmas present that my wife got for me probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was a hardcover called Soul's Winter. It's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle story written and drawn by Michael Zulli. It's a out-of-canon, self-standing three-issue story that's very good and very different, that if you're a Ninja Turtle fan, I thought it was fantastic. And I'm glad I finally finished reading it and fully enjoyed the gift that my wife got me so many years ago that I was so excited about, and then let it sit there on a shelf while other less important things took my time. Yeah, and then aside from that, the Criterion Channel is going to be launching before too long. I believe April 18th, I think it's in April at least, but I think it's the 18th is when it launches. And I am a charter member, which means basically that I get a free movie to watch each week on their website. I watched the first one, which was a movie called Mikey and Nikki that was pretty good and exposed me to some stuff that I vaguely knew that it existed, but didn't really know anything about it. I missed watching the second one because my life, sick kid, sick self, and everything else, that I wasn't able to watch it. But, yeah, so I'm excited about the Criterion Channel starting up and getting, to watch some more movies.
That sounds good. Sounds really good.
We can call it quits at that. We've talked very long on this episode, which has been nice. But yeah, so, you can find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. You could find Sparky on Twitter at MD Sparkman. You can find the show on Twitter at Occasionally STW. But the funny thing about that is I'm not really on Twitter that much. And Sparky, maybe I should give you the login to that also. so probably not, just tweet us individually because neither one of us want to do that. Yeah, check us out on NerdyLegion.com. Check out 2BT, Sparky's other show. Check out Shell Shock, a TMNT podcast that I do with my other cohort. That's about it.
Heck yeah. Check out the Elizabeth and Joey show. I don't know if you've listened to any of those, but they have some opinions, man. They are fiery.
I haven't listened to it yet. I still haven't gotten over spending my spare time trolling Joey with Batman. I'll just knock Batman. He takes it right to heart, even though I keep on telling him that I am a big Batman fan.
It's all good.
All right. Well, thank you, Sparky. Have a good night.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Enjoy not being in this foot of snowfall that I'm in.
It's going to be 70 degrees here tomorrow.
You son of a bitch.
I know it, right? It'll be 20 on Saturday, though, so Texas. All right. It's good night, man. Good conversation. I've enjoyed it. We'll get together again soon.
All right. Good night to everybody.
Adios. Thank you.
Thank you.